radiogorgeous.com. Follow us on Twitter, radio_gorgeous.
If you could read my mind, love, what a tale my thoughts could tell. Just like an old-time movie.
Hello, this is Radio Gorgeous, and I'm Elizabeth Kinder. Recent experiments show that telepathy is more likely to be science fact than science fiction. And I thought, imagine what life would be like if we could all communicate in this way and access our intuition so that we could clearly understand information around us that remains unsaid. I just think this would be amazing, and I wanted to know more about it. So I thought I'd start by talking to someone who works telepathically on a daily basis. And in a West London garden, I met up with the mum, author, and key for my purposes, the internationally renowned psychic, Julie Burgess Wells.
Just like
Hi, Julie. Hello. In your role as international psychic, do you get calls from politicians, generals, people that you wouldn't really expect? I know you can't name names here.
No, of course.
But that you wouldn't expect to call on psychic ability.
It's amazing how many people find that their life is enhanced by that extra bit of insight.
Okay. So first of all, probably what I should find out is, what is the difference between sort of having intuition and being clairvoyant or being an international psychic?
I think that intuition is something that we all use in our day-to-day lives. We actually probably couldn't get through without intuition. We have that sense of energy where we've all had that experience. We may have walked into a room and just know that there's been a row. It's hanging in the atmosphere. Or that moment that you know somebody's going to ring you. And that's an intuition about your life in the moment, or an intuition of danger, whatever. And animals obviously use that too. Clairvoyance is about intuition that is not limited by the moment or any sort of time. So I do believe, as I've been doing this for so very many years, that we have no such thing as time. We've created time. And that there is this universal program going on into which we tap. And when I have clairvoyant moments, well, not just moments, obviously, I do it all day, every day, I believe that my guides are helping me to lift the screens between those time zones so I can leap in and out rather than like fast-forwarding a film. And right. So clairvoyance is actually literally means clear seeing, and so I can see more clearly what there is ahead of people, which of course gives them the information they need in order to go forward.
I'd like to just clarify a bit more what intuition actually is, what insight actually is, and how that works.
Intuition or clairvoyance?
Intuition. I mean, because I think I understand that intuition is an understanding of the moment.
Yeah.
And clairvoyance is intuition about what's going to happen.
Yes.
It's about the future, even though that's just our human perception, and actually all time,
all the past. Okay. Yes, going backwards and forwards on the timelines. Yes.
Okay. But you're saying really that all time is happening all at once.
Yes.
And that you are able to access the information through it because a kind of veil lifts.
It lifts, exactly.
Like a fog clearing.
Yes.
Okay. And so how do we, because I know people talk about having a gut reaction, and I know that in our gut we have neurotransmitters.
Yes.
Actually, so our yes. brain isn't the only organ in our body
yes.
which can process information.
Yes.
And so I just wondered, is that something to do with the process?
Yes. We I don't know if you've heard of chakras,
yeah.
but they are energy centers and over our body, and if you like, they are like the organs of the etheric body or the soul or however you'd like to call it, the energy body.
Because we are all energy.
Because we are all energy, and each one has a job, the same as the physical organs have in the physical body. And this gut reaction is the solar plexus chakra, or it can start in the sacral chakra, because those are the places in which we begin to have intuition on a physical level, and that's why someone will have a gut reaction, because it literally is filtered in through there.
Right, so it's information contained in waves of energy, I suppose, like radio waves or thought waves.
Yes.
Coming
but
from
it's greater
where?
Than that. Well, that's an incredible question, isn't it? But this is what I've come to understand in the years, 20-odd years that I've been doing this. I believe that we are born into an enormous universal program, which is all about the enlightenment and progress of mankind, and that we're moving towards a point of transition, and that we have these experiences in order to develop ourselves. And I think that within this universal program we have a blueprint of the things that will happen, and we tend to call those fate. And then we have the way in which we handle our lives, which is what we call free will. And the free will is the thing that actually advances us. The other things are experiences, but it's what we take from the experience that either opens us up or closes us down. And so we choose in a difficult, sad, or whatever sort of situation, we choose as to whether we're going to be more learned, more compassionate, more open, more loving, or whether to close down, be embittered, be a poor me. And that I call the pattern on top of the blueprint, the fate stuff, because those free will choices take us into directions from which we approach the fate things. And so the insights that I'm able to give people can help them to work in an empowered, positive and unafraid manner, which can make the experiences more enhancing in their whole lives. A clairvoyant, a good one, is simply helping you to facilitate your own journey.
So having that insight helps us to blossom, really,
to blossom
as human beings. But I just want to go back. Why do you believe that there is fate? Why do you think that there is something that is predetermined? And you said that we were here to develop and progress, but why? Why do you think that? Why are we not just here?
I've come to that conclusion really through my work, because when I look into people's lives, I can see when something is a choice and whether something's just going to happen, whatever choice they make. It's just sometimes I look at something that is an immovable feast, and other times I can see that there's a crossroads of choice, which means that this is not a fate type decision. I sometimes can see that someone, maybe a partner, is going to come into this person's life in some way or other, and that it's definitely going to happen, and you know, you will not miss this person. That is part of the next phase. So I've come to the conclusion that there are certain parts of our path that are set in stone, but what we do with it is and how we get to it is the bit in which we encompass our own ability to progress.
So what you're doing, Julie, is removing a fear of the future that can block people from behaving to the best of their ability in the present.
Exactly. For people to step forward, maybe not always with confidence, but with a sense that there is a future, that always helps.
Yeah.
And to understand, you know, I may be only able to pick up on one element of a situation coming in, but the fact that I can see through the energy of that element, whatever it may be, gives a person the confidence that, okay, this is supposed to be happening. I mean, life should have surprises, and sometimes those surprises are not fun, and that is part of development. This is what I do is more about coping with it. I'm only told what will be useful.
How are you told?
How am I told?
Yeah, well, how does it work?
I mean, I have guides. I don't know how everyone works. I've not really had that discussion. I have guides and I see them in form of like balls of light. But when I'm working, I can't see them because I'm sitting with my eyes shut. However, I know when I have information channeling through me rather than my own agenda, simply because it tends to be something I know nothing about and couldn't make up because it's outside of my experience of that person.
Radio Gorgeous, online, on your phone, on a podcast, or on your tablet. Listen anywhere, anytime.
Your voice is a radio signal. And it emits the story of your life, what you've been doing, where you're at and where you're going, because it expresses your full energy.
So in the energy that we're expressing now with our voices, is all the information of what has happened, what is happening now and what is going to happen?
Yes. From
How?
Because each of us is like a radio signal. That is, and we'll discuss this, I know, at some other point, why, once we get to a critical mass of enlightenment, once enough people have worked on themselves towards enlightenment, everybody else will get it because we're all connected. But
Every single person. So you're talking about the interconnectedness of
everyone. Yes.
And living things like this.
Yes. Yeah.
Tree.
Yes.
That we're under.
Because all energy balances itself. It's all there for a reason. Every single thing we have around us is a part of a balance of the whole and an expression of it, an expression that is needed in the physical.
Okay, so this tree is just energy like me that's just vibrating on a different level.
Yeah. We are obviously vibrating at a relatively slow, more solid level. And now, of course, infrared and Carillion photography can picture energy moving, but our eyes aren't able to pick it up, but our brains are always able to pick it up, and
or our stomachs
our filter is always able to pick it up if we just allow it.
All right, so we need to open our minds basically.
We need to open our minds to it. All those alien films of people talking telepathically or whatever is perfectly possible. In the way that people accept that there's that connection between twins, it's just accepted and therefore not blocked. It's possible between every single person. Otherwise, how could I hear a voice from Australia while sitting in England and tell them what's going on in their life? Or what's going to go on?
So there's a kind of universal energy that is timeless.
Yes.
And which is somehow got all this information of every single living thing.
Yes.
And it's like a code.
It's like a code. This part of the universal energy is like primary school.
Right.
And there are other dimensions, other levels, which are the progress beyond that. But you need the basic lesson of compassion. When I teach people to do what I do, my husband Robert said to me, if we're going to start teaching people, what is your criteria? Do they have to have a gift? I don't believe it's a gift. I believe that we all have it, and I happen to use it, actually. So what is the criteria of people asked to learn? And I said, compassion. The whole point of these experiences is compassion. I can't teach someone compassion. That's an experience we choose. We choose to develop compassion through our experiences, I'm meant to say. And this primary school level of being human is entirely about love, entirely about developing compassion.
Okay, so if we are able to access our intuition, we will create a more compassionate society.
Yes.
Well, why would we do that? What's the connection between the two?
Well, first of all, it's about letting go and not feeling attacked, not feeling it's not fair. Accepting, I suppose, because if everybody worked on themselves to the point where they were non-aggressive and compassionate, imagine what the world would be like. There'd be no war, because it would be a sharing, caring society. Literally, all we have to do to flick the switch is to become compassionate individually, and once enough of us do that, then there is the critical mass Have you ever heard the story of the 100 monkey syndrome?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a true story. And these scientists are observing a troop of monkeys on a tropical island. And this was purely scientific. As they observed them, one of the female monkeys began to use a tool differently. And that was interesting. And she started to teach other members of the troop how to use the tool. And then other troops began to do this. Now, this island was not close enough to any of the other islands, but it wasn't within visual sight. One would have had to have taken a boat. But once about 10%, which was about 100 monkeys, were using this tool, suddenly all the monkeys on all the islands started doing the same thing, because it moved into the ether to a point where we could all pick it up, like tuning in a radio station.
So it's like a collective consciousness.
Collective consciousness. And once there's enough information in the collective consciousness, everyone can tap in.
Right, okay, so if we access our intuition, then, and we become more empathetic towards one another, and I assume with ourselves, because I...
Yes.
And I suppose that's
the biggest one, isn't it?
We have to start.
Yes, yes.
So we can recreate a compassionate society by, first of all, accessing our intuition, which helps us to learn compassion towards ourselves. And then I suppose that connects us, reminds each other that we are human and have the same...
But it isn't just intuition, of course, that enables us to develop compassion. One doesn't have to be completely intuitive to do that. But the intuition certainly makes that journey easier. And once one starts to develop that signal that each of us gives out, if you imagine that each of our bodies is a radio signal, it is also an electromagnetic signal, which science has now proven, that means that what you think you get, and we've now begun to understand that. So those positive people tend to, and happy and compassionate people, tend to be liked. They tend to draw into their lives happier experiences. A negative person might have experienced the same situation very differently because of their negativity. So your electromagnetic vibe that leaves you and therefore goes out and draws in, literally draws in the way you believe your life will be. And that's what I think I also run along, that I can see that people are bringing towards themselves things that are part of a belief system, which is also what I work on with people, you know, changing a belief system from negativity to positivity. Because we all hear the people go, oh, damn, I knew that was going to happen. And of course they knew it was going to happen, they made it happen. Self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right.
It's an energetic exchange.
Okay, so by accessing our intuition then we can actually transform our lives for the better.
Yeah.
And not just ourselves, but for society as a whole.
Yeah. Mankind.
Yes. Brilliant. And that's what we're going to do in the upcoming conversations that we're going to have, Julie, is learn how we can each access that.
Yes.
Develop it.
Yeah.
And
create lives we actually want to live.
Oh, how exciting. But so before we get on to that, I'd like to know, why is it that we have been so cut off from it? Why is it so devalued?
Right, up until the late 1940s, it was illegal in this country to practice mediumship, and you could go to prison or a psychiatric home if you were found practicing it, because it was considered to be evil. So it takes a long time to get rid of the fear that kind of punishment incurs. Religion is very much a way where people are controlled. Personally, I believe religion is man-made and spirit is God-made.
So,
I mean, obviously, that I wouldn't. For one of my best friends is a vicar. I, you know, those who are enlightened are wonderful facilitators. But we're simply talking about how did it happen that we were closed down on this.
Mm. And so, it's something that we all have. So, did you experience it as a child? The sort of clairvoyance. Psychic ability.
What happened with me as a child was that I was born and brought up in Kuwait of a British parentage, but I didn't come to England until I was 11. However, I was brought up in a different culture. I had an ayah, or a nanny, who was Indian, so she had a different belief system. And I only found out many years later that both my parents were incredibly psychic, but hadn't even told each other because of the taboo involved. So it wasn't until I was married to my first husband and I was about 24 and walking down the street and I said to him, "Do you find it intrusive to see all these pictures around people?" To which he responded, "I have no idea what you're talking about," but I actually had an aha moment. I just did not realise that other people had shut that off completely. To me, it was a complete normality.
Right. So what would happen? So is that how you work? You know, you talk to somebody and then pictures spring to your mind.
Pictures, words, feelings, whatever. Yeah.
Okay. And you mentioned earlier about having guides.
Yes.
So what form do they take? What are they? How does that work?
Well, I mean, for me, as I said, I see them as balls of light. So I just see them literally as an energy who at this point are not in a physical form.
Okay, so this energy, that's connected with the universal energy, is it?
I think it's bigger than universe, bigger than anything. I think it is everything. And that we simply progress until we are enlightened, and whether it's in physical form or not. It's infinite, the energy, as far as I understand it. I wouldn't even encompass it in a universe because there are many universes. I think it's beyond. I think it's everything.
So all the planets?
Everything. All the universes, everything.
Do people say you're bonkers, Julie?
Often. Or maybe just not limited by current thought.
No, it's very... Well, I think it's very interesting, isn't it? Because there are lots of... advances in quantum physics,
yeah,
that bear out,
yeah,
the process
what used to be called madness and now is becoming interesting to science. Mm. You know, there are always going to be people who are charlatans within anything, but true clairvoyance is available to all of us.
Okay, so let's just recap, Julie, here.
Excuse me.
Basically, we're all like sort of radio transmitters for our energy, which draw in events to our lives.
Yes.
And we have the ability, through accessing that intuition, to transform.
To up the frequency.
Those, so we get a better class of events.
Basically, the greater the energy, the higher the frequency, the better the life. And that doesn't mean you don't have awful things happen. It just means you are able to move through them with an understanding that, in the end, enhances life.
Oh, brilliant. So we're going to learn over our next few conversations how we can access our intuition and learn to trust it, to really expand our...
Yes. Program ourselves to lead the life that we would truly like to.
Can you just give me a hint of how we might do this, what the process will be?
I think that the process is starts in a very simple way, which is to start to listen to the chatter going on in the back of your head, because that's the thing that's really programming you. And then we will go on to let go of that, to have programming techniques and tools in within which we can find that we're getting the information we need.
Okay.
And connecting.
Okay.
Not blocking it. So you need to be not blocked in order to allow yourself to access it. So the two work together.
And learning to trust it.
Yeah, that's all about not blocking it.
Okay, how exciting. Well, I look forward to it enormously. Thank you
me
very
too.
Much. Right, so this is me, Elizabeth Kinder, for Radio Gorgeous, with the wife, mother, author, and international psychic, Julie Burgess-Wells.
Thank you so much, Julie.
Thank you,
it's been fun.
If you could read my mind, love, what a tale my thoughts could tell.
RadioGorgeous.com.
An old time movie about a ghost from a wishing well. In a castle dark or a fortress strong with chains upon my feet. But stories always end if you read between the lines. You know that I'm just trying to understand. the feelings